let's go through the third power. Okay, I'm gonna share my screen. And uh-oh, I didn't mean to do that. Share. Okay. And we'll learn it. Okay. So this is what he does. It's actually fascinating. Not actually. It's fascinating what he does here in the third perek, which is that he back references the second perek, but he deepens every single concept and makes it real. That's like the theme of the third perek, at least so far that I've seen, is that he takes a little bit of what we already got in like the principles and he like hones in on them and makes it real through one particular mode. And the particular mode is like looking at our own lives. So basically, like, if he had to put a title to the third parak, it would be learning bitachon, making it real through our own lives and looking at our own lives and experiences. And it's just like fascinating what he does. So here he goes. Okay. Achahak damos asher beburun va'am misasan yishalim la'adam habitachon ve'elokim hein chamesh. Okay. So he says, I'm going to give you five like premises, five hakdamos, like assumptions basically upon which bitachon is built. So again, I'm not 100% sure what he means by hakdamos, but we'll see what he does. At least the first one is pretty clear, which is that he starts again in the first premise, which has seven stages. He back references the seven stages we did last time in Parak Beis, and we're going to see what he's going to do. This sentence itself is fascinating because this sentence about assumptions has an assumption, right? That here are the assumptions. What it said, ah hahak damos asher beruran va'amisasan yishalim la'adam habitachon belokim hein chamesh. There are five premises that you need to make bitachon true. You know it's true, but now you have to make it true. And so again, like the assumption behind the assumptions is that making something that you know is true real is a step. It's not just like, listen, I told you these things about bitachon, you believe them. That's what we did last time. That was Perek Beis. I told you them, you believe them, shkoyach, now we're on the next. No, it's like you believe them, I told you them, you believe them, they made sense to you, and now you have to do something with them. And this is the step where he talks about what we're doing with them. And there's basically, it seems to be, at least in this first hakdama, one basic tool that he uses, which is generally a tool of how to make something real in our lives, which is that we have to look at our lives at the places where we've seen this before. And he says like that, Rav Lech talks about like chazara lav v'hasmada, right? Which is a lashon from the Mesiyas Yesharim, that once you learn something, you have to go over it and review it and go over it and review it. And he's saying here, it's not just that like, you're like brainwashing yourself. It's not that you're saying the same line again and again and again to yourself and hoping that you get it. It's that you're returning to it from a different angle, from a different perspective. It's like the Parsha, right? You learn it when you're 21 and then you learn it when you're 22 and you learn it when you're 23. And you're like, oh my gosh, it sounds different. It feels different to me with the passage of time. So that's what this is all about. It's about going back to what we already know because we learned it in Perek Beis, but looking at the flavor of seeing where we've seen it before in our own lives. And that's how we're making it real to ourselves. Okay, so here he goes. Achas mehem sheya'amin v'yisbar etzlo. His kabtus hashiva in yanin belokim asher b'his kabtam b'mi shebotrim bo yitachin livtaruch alav. Okay, so again, we're going back to the things that we did last time. Remember last time we said like, what are the seven things that you need in order to trust somebody? And we kind of built them up ourselves and we had those seven. Okay, so now he's going back and reviewing them. Okay, harishon. So the first, 1 second, I took notes in my hotel though, so I'm actually going to open it up first. So first one last time was just that Hashem Chacham, right? Like if you're going to trust somebody, you have to believe that they love you, right? That they have your best interest in mind. So here it goes. Harishon shaboris barach marachim al adam yosir mikol marachim v'chol rachamim v'chemla shiyeh mizu laso elav kulam hei mirachamei hakel v'chem laso. So the first is that we've experienced before people who care for us. Remember? We all have that. We've all experienced the care from other people. And this time, it's worth thinking about the fact that Hashem cares from us, that not only does he care for us like those other people who we've experienced caring for us before, but that their experience, our experience of them caring for us was him caring for us. The fact that other people care for us is Hashem caring for us. So again, we're taking this one concept of like Hashem cares for us. We're like, okay, we get it. We kind of get it. But he's saying, no, 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 it's not only that Hashem cares for us. Remember that feeling. You have that feeling from other people. And not only do you have that feeling also from Hashem and that experience also from Hashem, but that experience you have from other people is Hashem caring for you. All right? So again, it's taking something and broadening and deepening the concept. That's what this is all doing. Vahasheni. The second, so again, in last time, the second was that God doesn't blink, right? That there's nothing that Hashem like disappears from Hashem or that Hashem ignores in our lives. Hashem is always paying attention to our good. It's not just like occasionally when he's like, you know, not out to lunch. Vahasheni, ki haboris ala lo ya'almu mimenu. Okay, so again, Hashem doesn't ignore us. Hashem doesn't blink. Afne to'eles ha'adam. V'din ha'nosein zeh, mipnei shehu echan mima'asav. Ve'im mi sheyodea ba'afne takanos ha'asui v'hafseido. Ufgamim ha'masigim oso, ba'afne ha'machalaso v'aruchaso, yosir me'osehu. So again, what we would think that he would go here is that Hashem doesn't blink, because Hashem never blinks ever. Right? Hashem doesn't blink in my life because Hashem is all-powerful, omniscient God, and he never blinks in anyone's lives or anything. He's always paying attention. He's always running the world. And that's not where he goes. He says Hashem doesn't blink in your life because he knows every piece of your life because he created you. In the same way, and then he goes on, which we're probably going to skip, but he talks about, like, you know, different humans who make different inventions and different things. Like, they know very intricately, like, my husband's a software engineer, right? Like, he knows the different parts of, like, a computer system and the programming, and he knows that if this thing is wrong, he has to go to line, like, 5,671 and change, like, this comma to a period, and then the whole thing works, right? Like, he knows it very intimately because he wrote it. He wrote the code. So that's where he goes here. It's like, Hashem knows us not because he knows everything, but because he wrote our code. He knows everything about me because he knows me. In the same way that I've experienced, again, Jeff knowing his code because he wrote the code. I've seen that before in my life. And that's what is going on between Hashem and me right now. Okay, I'm going to skip the rest of that piece. V'hashlishi, okay, the third piece last time was the Hashem as chazak, right? Like, he's strong. No matter what he decides to do, he could do it. Like, he has the power to do what he decides to do. V'ashlishi ki aboris bar chazak mikol chazak, v'dvaro nigzar mikol davar, v'in masig dino. Okay, so again, Hashem is rule supreme and nothing could trounce whatever he decides to do. Which is, again, fascinating because sometimes, as much as we're like, oh, of course Hashem is strong, right? We say that as lip service and we think we mean it until we give something else power over God, even. And the example that Rav Lechler gave that I thought was fascinating was politics, where he says, we know that Hashem is all-powerful, and we know that Hashem says, midbar sheker tirchak, like, don't lie and don't flatter, and all those things, and onas devarim, like, we know that Hashem says all these things that we shouldn't do, but we're like, oh, come on, but, like, in this political situation, we're like, I have to get this person at this event so that this good thing happens in Klal Yisrael, right? Like, I'm well-intentioned, and I'm playing the politics game, so, like, I can flatter this person, and I could say the sheker here, like, a little sheker, and it's fine, right? But, like, again, in that way, we're giving something power over God, and that's called politics, right? Or we do it also, like, again, in other cases, like, I'm sure there are places where we're like, okay, Hashem is part of my puzzle piece, but, like, he's not actually my puzzle. He's, like, a part of the puzzle, and I'm also going to do this here and this here and this here, and I'm giving power to other things, right? So this is the opposite. I've seen in myself giving power to something other than God, and, like, that's not what we're talking about. Bitachon is just Hashem has the power. Just Hashem is powerful, than more powerful than all politics. Okay, so the fourth is that Hashem knows me. Remember we talked about that? That the person who we trust, we have to feel like they know me. So Harvi, ki hu masig al hanhagas in yane ha'adam kulam. Lo yanichem, v'lo yis'ali mehem, v'lo yisaser mimenu davar, mehem, mikatanam v'yagdolam, v'lo yashkichehu davar, as davar, mashagazu. Okay, fine. Davar as davar. So again, that Hashem knows me and he knows everything about me, and there's nothing that's hidden from him. Hold on a second. What's our parish here? Okay, so again, it's the same. I don't have like a really good flavor here, but that it's that again, nothing in the same way that I could experience having forgotten something. Right, I can experience having paid attention to something at one time and then not paid attention to something at a different time. I know that experience. I know what it feels like for myself to be forgotten. I know what it feels like when I'm supposed to do carpool and I'm not picked up from carpool, or my kid isn't picked up for carpool because I'm talking to somebody else and I forget about. Right, so like we've experienced that. And again, that like this never happens. That never happens. Hashem knows all my different inyanim and he's always carrying all the pieces. It's not like, I couldn't go grocery shopping because I was in the middle of doing laundry. None of that. Hachamishi, which was the history of Hashem taking care of us in our lives. That's what we talked about last time, is like seeing Hashem in our lives through our history. So that's Hachamishi. Hachamishi. She'ein b'yad echad mehabruim lahoil es nafsho, v'lo lahazika, v'lo lezulaso, ki'im b'rashus haboris barach. right? Nothing, only Hashem. Hashem has taken care of me, miyamim kodmim, like all the time, and that Hashem has never not taken care of me. And that the reason that I'm here is because from the time that I was like, from inception until I was like a thought of a human, until I was actually a human, until I'm now a human for quite a while, Hashem has always been taking care of me. And he goes on something also that's interesting. And again, here's his like relating it to our own human experience. So again, we talked about like everything that's gotten me here has always been Hashem. But if somebody has two masters, or again, if you have for a while in the OU just now, I work for two departments. So I'm like answering to this department and I'm answering to this department and this department and this department is paying me this much and this supposed to be paying me this one. And I have this responsibility and that responsibility, right? So if you have two masters or you have two people that you report to and both of them could help you, then it's not that I trust one of them. I trust both of them. And whichever one has the more power over me, that's the one I trust the most. Right? I hope that both of them are going to benefit me, so I'm paying attention to both of them. So if one of them could benefit me more, I'm going to depend on that one more. But I'm still going to be trusting in the other guy too. Right? I have like my eggs in multiple baskets. If I'm like an investor in a startup, I'm going to have my main investor, but I also have like side peripheral investors as well. But if I only have one person and that's the only person and that's my one route to success, it's my one route to, the ambition that I have, it's the one route to the service that I need from this person who is in authority position. That's it. I have all my eggs are in that basket. All my bitachon is in that person. Again, so that's supposed to be, that's like the model of our relationship with Hashem. And we've all felt like this, right? We've all felt like times when there was one person, and it doesn't have to be only Hashem. There were times where we felt like Hashem is going to save us. Only Hashem, that's it. And there were also times where like we needed the approval of the one person to do X, Y, Z. We're like, if that person's on board, I could totally go ahead. Where we're like, if that friend likes me and if they accept me, my whole social life is fine. Right? We've had that experience of having those people who were in those authority positions, and that was it. All our eggs were in that basket. And that's the feeling of Hashem taking care of us and us depending on him, because he's the only one who we could benefit from. He's always that friend and that leader and that director and that boss and that whatever. The Hashishi and the sixth. I'm going to have to plug in my computer in a minute. The Hashishi, Sheyeda, Rav Tuv HaElokim, Al HaAdam. So the sixth one, sorry, in the fifth parak was it was the hard one that was hardest for us. It was like, it's like a level of bitachon, which was, you know, it's your total dependency as if you're like a eved in the boor, as if you're like a slave in the pit. Okay, so here he goes with this. And again, this is like back referencing a different shar in Chovas HaLavas, which we didn't learn. But Hashish Sheyeda Rav Tuv HaElokim Al HaAdam Uma Shehischil Oso Bo Meirov HaChesed VaHatova Mibli Sheyeh Ro'oi Etzlo Lekach V'lo Letzorech Sheyeh Eilav Ach Nedava V'Tova VaChesed. So again, there's no obligation that Hashem has towards us. It's like as if we're totally dependent and everything that Hashem does is just a total chesed to us. Okay, Kashir Be'arnu B'Shar HaBechina, like we spoke about in the Shar HaBechina, which we haven't learned together, obviously, but a lot of it is, again, this showing that Hashem has been with us from forever, basically, and through forever. Okay, the seventh, and here's where it gets also like a little bit more fascinating. And last time too. Okay, the seventh. The seventh in the other one was that this Carrie used the word the generous, assumption of generous intent or whatever. I forgot like the exact words that she used, right? But that it was this. It was that Hashem doesn't owe us anything. He's just generous to us, and he's generous all the time to everybody. Vashvi sheizbar etzlo ki yesh lechol hahavayo shebaulam hazeh me'etzem umikra gvul v'yeda. So the seventh is that. She's bar etzlo ki yesh lechol ha'avayo sheba'ulam hazeh me'etzem umikra gvul yadua veloso velo yigra al ma shegazar ha'boreis barach bekamaso ve'echaso. Okay, one second, I have to just plug in my computer. Sorry, this is annoying.
that
so the seventh is that again, everything that happens that basically you can't impact, everything that happens is a gezeirah from Hashem, which is interesting. We actually haven't heard this lashon yet, at least from the Chovos HaLevavos Shar Bitachon, okay? But that everything that happens is a gezeirah from Hashem. It's like Hashem specifically wants it to happen. And nothing I could do is going to influence that. Masha gezeiris barach bekamaso ve'echaso v'zmano uvekomo. How much, the quality and the quantity and the time and the place. Ein marba l'masha gezeir bimuto. You can't get more of what Hashem said should be less. V'lo me'ma'id b'masha gezeir b'ribuso. And you can't get less of what Hashem wants to be more. V'lo me'acher l'masha gezeir l'achdimo. You can't make it late if Hashem wants it to be early. V'lo machdim l'masha gezeir l'achariso. And you can't make it earlier if Hashem wants it to be later. U'masha yeh min ha'devarim al ha'hefach mizeh. Hu ha'nigzer asher kadam b'tchilas ha'yediyah. Ela shalakol ha'gezeiras ha'akdamos b'yediyas ha'borei sibos v'lasibos sibos. And anything that happens and everything that happens in the world, it's coming from the Gezeirah HaVashem, even though it seems to be that it has reasons and the reasons have reasons and the reasons have reasons. So again, it seems to be that we could follow this like chain of events and we, if we wanted to, could kind of like cut Hashem out of the picture in one way or another. Or be like, well, at this chain of events, so if it's supposed to be a lot and I want it to be a little, if I want it to be a lot and it's supposed to be a little, then if I follow this chain of events, I could influence it. Or you could be like, last time, remember, like this impacted the chain of events. And it's saying, hold on a second. Mi she'eino mevin mi'inyanei ha'olam. Anyone who doesn't really get what's going on in the world, yachshov, you could think. Ki yasiba ha-mischadeshes mechayeves shinua ha-inyanim v'his hap-chosam me-inyan el-inyan. You could think that all those reasons are the things that actually change the world. Hold on a second. Seraphix just called me in the middle of the world. Hold on. Just want to make sure the link is working. Yeah, seems to be okay. So you can think that the reason that's happening is the reason that something is happening, right? But, and then if you change a piece of the reason, then you're going to change the outcome of what's happening. V'hasiba chalusha v'nikla mihiyos mima shinoi ocholef or ocholuf be'atzmam ka'asher nira hagargar ha'achar minachita matzmiach shalosh me'os shibalim u'bachol shibola shalosh garinim v'yu hagargir achad siba la'aseres alafim okorav lahem. So he's saying, please, basically, oh, please, if you really pay attention to the world, you'll see that so often there are these little reasons that turn into these huge circumstances and that actually that doesn't really make any sense. And the example that he gives is from nature, which is fascinating. It's not a political history. It's not like so-and-so shot so-and-so and that started World War I. It's a natural thing. And he's saying, listen, even us in our own human experience, just being in a natural world, you see this little tiny seed and you put it in the ground and it turns into this massive tree. And that tree, each of that tree has like a little fruit, and that fruit has its own 1500 seeds that drops into the ground. And one of those trees, seeds next to it, turns into a giant tree. He's like, are you kidding me? You look at that and it makes sense to you that little tiny seed turned into this giant tree that itself sprouts 10,000 other seeds? Come on. We see this all the time in nature. We get it all the time. The natural world itself, if we're paying attention to it, shocks us. And it's just something. And a completely different approach. That's how we're talking about the natural world and we go, because we all biologists and whatever, all sorts of other science classes that are trying to, like, strip apart the natural world and explain it away as if, therefore, doesn't have anything to teach us. And it doesn't have to have any effect on us because, like, that's the way it is. If you're smart, you know that that's the way it is. If you're smart, you know that, of course, a seed bud and it germinates and then the sunshine and the blah, and then it sprouts and photosynthesis and shkayach. We can use all these like complicated words that make us sound sophisticated. And all we did is explain away something that should shock us in our human experience of the world. And the premise here of the seventh piece and of Bitachon in general, it seems, is that it needs to start with our contemplation of our own world and our own lives and our capacity to be genuinely surprised by it. And our capacity to genuinely learn from it. This is actually the first thing I ever heard Rav Lichter speak about. When I was in Shana Aleph in Tomer Devorah, he came and spoke before he was like Rav Lichter. He was already Rav Lichter, but before I guess he was like, well, like I would be shocked if he speaks in Tomer Devorah nowadays. He lived in a remote, like right around the corner from where Tomer Devorah was. And he spoke about a story of Emunah from the Holocaust. And he was talking about how there was a woman who someone was talking to. Again, I don't remember like the exact details of the story, but she said, you know where I saw Hashem in the Holocaust? She was a survivor herself. She said, when we were in Auschwitz, our fingernails didn't grow and our hair didn't grow. So we never had to like take care of grooming ourselves. We were just kind of like taken care of already. And the person she was speaking to was like, that's not Hashem. That's what happens to anybody who's malnourished. Like, it wasn't Hashem taking care of you. It was just you being malnourished. That's why that happened. And she responded, like, that's what I said. That's what I said. Like, just because it's the natural world doesn't mean that we don't have anything to learn from it. Doesn't mean we don't have anything to gain from it or learn bitachon and emunah from it. That's where we learn bitachon and emunah, is from looking at the natural circumstances of our lives. Rav Lichter's like, we should never have to go to someone else's inspirational speech to learn inspiration and bitachon. He's like, look at your own life. That's where it starts. It starts in your own life. We just don't look in our own lives because we think our own lives have nothing to teach us. But our own lives and our own experiences of our lives is something to teach us, and the natural world around us is something to teach us. That's where bitachon starts. Beautiful, right? And here's the last paragraph, and then we'll stop for today. V'tirdas ha'nefesh l'haktim ma'asha achar habor yisalel u'la'achar ma'asha hiktim l'harbos u'ma'asha himit l'hamtir l'hamit ma'asha hirber miknine ha'olam mibli sibeb el kiyum mitzvos. Okay, one second, I'm just gonna start again. V'tirdas ha'nefesh, right? Sometimes we get so carried away. We get like stressed out, basically. L'hakti ma'asha achar habaris yis'ale u'l'achar ma'asha hikdim. So again, to change something around. Something is unsatisfying to us. Something in our lives, something in the world, and we're all stressed out about it, and we're trying to change it. Hashem has a, Hashem's gezeira. That was like the mila mancha of the previous paragraph. Like, that was the theme, is that Hashem is a gezeira, and it looks like it's coming from all this natural stuff, and it isn't. It's coming from Hashem. And sometimes we get so stressed out trying to change some of those circumstances of what's going on in our lives. Ulahabros masha himit, ulahamit masha harba, right? To make more what's less and to make less what's more. He's kind of repeating himself. Miknine ha'ulam, from what's going on in the world. Mibli sibev el kiyum mitzvos v'avodaso v'kibul toraso chalishos ha'akara v'amitas yediaso v'sichlos mehavin tovos ha'anagaso. So the only place where that's kosher is in our own avodas Hashem and kiyum mitzvos. That's where our responsibility lies. You want to be stressed out? You want to have tirdas ha'nefesh? You want to spend your time trying to change something? Spend your time to change your own spiritual reality, your own avodas Hashem. That's the place where this sentiment is kosher. Everything else in the rest of the world, that's bitachon. To be like, Hashem has it. I know all those things from Perek Beis. I know all those things from Perek Gimel. I see it in my life. I see it when I see a tree. I see that like the sibos are not enough to explain the gezeros of Hashem. And Hashem has gezeros, and all this is covered. And this is not my stuff to worry about. I have menuchas ha'nefesh. The only place where I am found, me, is in my world and my circumstances of my world and what I'm doing with them. And that's where bitachon starts, and avodas Hashem generally. Okay, and then he quotes Shlomo HaMelech. Fine, and then he says basically the world is a lot deeper than what we think, and Hashem has it covered. Okay, and the next time we'll do, I think, these next two pieces, Hakdama 2, 3, and maybe we'll finish it off next time.